Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 127 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. I'm on my own today in terms of the original Unholy Trinity. As mentioned last week, Lee is away in Turkey on his golfing holiday. Has more holidays than Judas Chalmers, this lad. And Pete, unfortunately, has caught up with work, or fortunately, should we say, caught up with work. I wish I was. But joining me, has been on many a time, friend of the show. Great to have him back on. And it's Phil Haywood. Phil, how are you feeling, mate, after what we witnessed at Goodison Park yesterday?
I think it's the first time where I've ever felt like this. I find it hard to not read anything about Everton. I love reading about Everton, transfers or what's going on around the club, new stadium, what players' reaction, but it's hard to even look at it now. And sometimes I think I'll be positive and I'll read up on old things gone by, but now it's just, it's so difficult to digest what's happening, and I couldn't believe it when I left the ground yesterday. It was just a stunned. There wasn't much anger. It was just, I think a lot of people have, it's almost like accepted it, and that's never been Everton. And there's so many problems that snowballed from years gone by, and I think we're now, it's all smacking us in the face because we just don't know where to turn. We don't know where to look. We don't know how to raise ourselves, us as fans. We just got to keep going, like we said off air, but it's hard now. It's like, it's becoming a chore for many fans and the club in total.
Yeah, I'm with you there in terms of, you know, I don't recognise Everton at the moment, to be honest, and that's really, really sad to say. I think a lot of emphasis was put on this week, wasn't it? You know, the Wolves game, obviously we should have had Watford at the weekend. Obviously we got the FA Cup instead, but Wolves and then Newcastle Thursday, and how about, you know, four to six points, and to come away with nothing again. The manner of the second half performance, when, you know, we conceded an early goal in the second half, and then that was that. There was one Richarlison chance after that, really. Mm. And like you say, it was almost as if the air was sucked out of the stadium. At one point, sort of 15, 20 to go, we were saying before we started recording, 15, 20 to go, the fans were just like, what more, what can we do? What do we do? And it's such a difficult position to be in. You know, there's a lot of talk around games in hand, but when you look at the side after, I mean, we haven't spoken on this show since before Spurs, and look at the Spurs game and the manner of that particular defeat. And then you look at what happened on Sunday, and Everton started all right. Everton were on top. You know, we had a lot, you know, a fair bit of the ball. We had the, you know, a decent chance with Richarlison. Damari Gray forced a save from the goalkeeper as well. And you think, you know, we're looking all right, and we're looking good to get something from the game here. And as I say, it's that age old issue of the confidence just drains from the players as soon as they hit adversity, and the adversity in that game was the Conor Coady goal. And you just wonder mentally where these players are currently at this moment in time.
No, you're spot on, Mike. And obviously, being at the game yesterday, the tails were up. Obviously, the Wolves forward went down all three times in 30 seconds, and the fans were... I said they're playing in it into Everton's hands here because it's going to be that the fans are booing. You know, every time they touched the ball, we booed then. And for a good 15, 20-minute period, we were on top. We had corner after corner. We had a couple of half chances. And then second half, I watched for the first 5-7 minutes, we gave two stupid fouls away. And Wolves are a big, big side. And I was watching Paul Clement, and he was shouting at Mikhailenko. He wasn't in the right place. And the ball went over, and we got away with it. And then we'd give another stupid foul away. And he's out again, Paul Clement, on every set piece. And he's screaming. I think Jimenez had a shot just wide. And then they got the corner and they scored. And we just looked all over them. It was our own. We were making it easy for them. Again, we play into their hands by giving stupid things away. But it's almost like, as we said off air, start well, try and get that goal. Because as the minutes tick by, we just look so nervous. It's like we can't see a 90 minutes out with a positive, I don't know, not as much performance, but without doing daft things, we gift stupid goals. Teams don't have to work hard against Everton. We haven't scored in four, but we have to work so hard to even score one. Teams don't have to do that against us. And that's the way.
I've said that for months and months this season. I think I said it last week on the show. I just don't see sides scoring good goals against us. Us making mistake after mistake after mistake. And that's for 90-95% of the goals that we concede. You don't sit there and say, that's a great goal. Even Harry Kane's goal in the second half against Spurs, where he's just hit on the volley, that's down to us. Just letting him go and not getting out to the first ball. And it's things like that where, for me, that so many goals are avoidable. And you look at the one that Wolves score, and we clear the original, obviously the original cross, the free kick that comes in, goes out, obviously the ball then comes back in, and we just don't reset properly. I mean, I think Godfrey was on Connor Cody, and it was just, I mean, how much do you think is down, Phil, to us constantly having to change our two centre halves and back four as a whole? Because we're seeing it week in, week out, where it's very rare we're getting a consistent, you know, two centre-halves playing every single week. So from a goalkeeper's point of view, Jordan Pickford must be frustrated. And then obviously from an organisational point of view, you mentioned Paul Clement there was out a few times, you know, to basically organise a side. How much of it is down to that, do you think?
Mike, I've said this since, I think we drew Tottenham 0-0, and we should have had a penalty, in my opinion. And Pickford was getting a lot of stick before that. And I think he was one of the most consistent players, you know, when Ancelotti was here, and obviously this season as well. And I said, considering he has a different back two centre-halves every week and different full-backs every week, it'll be interesting to find out how many times we've changed that defence. If you look at any team, they don't change it. Now, sometimes it's not through injury. Sometimes because, again, like we just spoke, we give away some silly, daft goals that we think we'll have to change it now. I personally think it plays a massive part. If you change your back line in any team, from kids' football to adults' football to the high level, you are going to be punished because you need consistency. You do need consistency. We're not getting clean sheets. That's probably why we're changing it. But you've got to start somewhere and just say, there's four games with that back four, or five games with that back four. Again, there was a period where Godfrey never, you know, he's always a centre-half, but we were getting results when he was playing left-back. Mm-hmm. And we had four centre-halves at one point for a couple of games under Ancelotti, and it was working. All right, we had some subs on the bench who could play full-back, but We played Godfrey out wide at left back, and it was working. So why change it? And I think now as well, you know, I after the Chelsea game and we drew 1-1, I said, why don't we persist with maybe a Branthwaite? You know, they don't know much about him. He's a big lad. Stick with him, or, you know, X, Y, and Z, whoever. But we just changed so many times, and they've all got different attributes. You know, like I said to my mum going the game, I said, when I looked at the team, Godfrey and Holgate, the last time I saw those two was a QPR, and they got bullied by Charlie Austin. Mm. So what are they going to do against Jimenez? To be fair, I don't think they did that bad, you know, as a pair yesterday. But it's frightening how many times we change the back line, and that is a massive effect.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it certainly does from a goalkeeping perspective. Mm-hmm. It certainly does from an organisational side, from set pieces. I think it's massive, the fact that people have always got different roles within mm-hmm. a set piece sort of formation, it all set up, if you like. And so much so, you're looking now at it. I mean, we'll discuss Newcastle theory, but you're looking at the Newcastle game and you're thinking, get Michael Keane back in there. Forgot, mm-hmm. you know, you've got at the height of Chris Wood, massive, mm-hmm. you know, Dan Burn, massive. You know, from set pieces, you're going to have bigger players in there. Now, is it a case of throwing Godfrey out at left back for that game, maybe, and then going Keane, Holgate, and or even Brandt, basically, you know? But again, we're changing it all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, at this stage of the season, when points are basically at a premium for ourselves and it's so vital for us, and we're still, we can't, for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, injuries, suspensions, obviously Kenny now is going to be suspended and what have you. We haven't found our two best centre halves, and if we have, which I think may, you know, it's probably Ben Godfrey and Yerry Mina as a two would be the ideal situation. They're injured, they're not well. You know, I think Mina's probably finished now with the club. I think that's him done. I don't see him probably playing for the club again. But it's such a position that we're in. You don't want to be now trying to find two centre halves with 12 games to go that actually work. You just don't. And it's so frustrating for me to sort of see us be in this predicament. And I think the alarming thing is, from what we've actually seen over the last two games, it is even more so than previous games under Lampard, is how this side have just mentally just capitulated. And it's a really strange, really, really strange time for me. And I think this is the first time I've really sort of, not panicked, but it's massively, the last two defeats have impacted me quite heavily, and I'm not like that really. I mean, I used to be, when I was younger, I used to be reactive and all that, and I think I've calmed down as I've got older. I've even said, you know, I've had conversations partway through the season saying, listen, we'll be fine, we'll sort it out. But he says, Wentz, don't worry, you know, Lampard's coming in, feel good factors back, we're great against Leeds, great against Brentford, and you think, yeah, we're going to be absolutely fine, don't you worry about it. And then you see that. Again, it's got to be said, Phil, me and you spoke before the game, and we both agreed, Wolves are a difficult side. Yeah. Wolves are, you know, organised. They've got a good manager who's got them playing the right way. You know, a lot of players are similar to what Nuno had at Wolves. They know the system. They've got some real quality individuals there. So me and you both said, this is not going to be an easy game, and we can't go in there thinking that we're going to sort of steamroller anywhere or be guaranteed 3 points. But a point would have been, listen, that's positive. But we sort of, in a way, played into Wolves' hands, didn't we? They were, first half, we were the better side, of course. But we didn't score a goal. And for them, it was great. They took control of that second half, early doors, got a goal, got possession of the ball. And from that particular point, everything was done. And I think because now we're at the stage that we're at, and we're not seeing the players react or just show some kind of reaction to adversity, that's what concerns me so much now. It really, really does. And, you know, Frank Lampard has been a breath of fresh air. I think he speaks really, really well since he's come in. I actually enjoyed his press conferences as well, listening to what he's got to say. But we've got to remember, Frank Lampard has come into a difficult situation. He got that new manager bounce early on. It seems to have dropped off, off the edge of a cliff, basically. And it's going to be very difficult going forward. But did you take anything positive from the game at all, Phil, going into Thursday?
The first half, I did think we, you know, getting Damari Gray back, he's been very, very good for us this season. And getting him back, and I thought he would be electric. He didn't look fit. He didn't look his normal self. Godfrey coming back, I thought he was solid at centre-half, but I totally agree what we were saying before. I could potentially see him move position come Thursday. Richarlison, I've always liked him down the middle. I just think he bullies, he pushes a little bit more. He's got a little bit more energy in there. And at first half, I thought, just don't get beat. You know, don't get beat. With teams around us playing as well, and obviously the day before, Burnley and Brentford playing, it's important not to lose ground by not losing the game. Just get something out of the game. And then, like I said just earlier, as the game went on, it was more like the crowd just went flat. The players just, you know, didn't look like they wanted the ball. Decore in that six, I don't know why he was in there. I've never, when we signed Decore, he was my, well, we had James Rodriguez and players there, but he was he's someone we needed for years. And I was so excited about having him. And obviously injuries have dampened his Everton career, but seeing him on yesterday playing in that six, every time he got the ball, the fans were shouting turn. And every time he got it, he passed it back to Holgate. He didn't want the ball in that position. He's not that type of player, which confused me more, because you had Alan sit on the bench. Now, I know Alan's played a lot of minutes recently, but if he's on the bench, surely he can do a job for half a game or half an hour, 20 minutes. Even Andre Gomez, because that we try and have someone like that, but create someone who'll pass it forward. I don't think Decore and Donny van der Beek were great in a two. I think that was the second game that Donny van der Beek was a little bit quiet. And again, not much sure if that's his game in a two in there like that against a very strong side in Wolves. But it just makes me think, Mike, I've never been worried with John Joe Shelvey and Dan Burns and all these players in the past. I'm terrified for Thursday. Mm. I'm literally terrified, because I've any fixture list, normally you'd say Newcastle home, we'll win that. Easy win, good win. But you just don't know what Everton you're going to get. The only blessing, it's under the lights for me. I think that makes a huge difference. I really do. It does make a huge difference. And I think that's a positivity, even though there wasn't many yesterday. I think that is under the lights, because we know what Everton can be. And I think, again, the fans will turn up as they always do. And the fans will back the players as they always have done, especially the last since Lampard's come in. Listen, the noise outside of Everton, you know, everyone doesn't want another Norwich going down and Watford and Fulham's coming up in West Brom. They want someone big going down, and they want Everton. Everyone, and that's why it's unity with Everton, and we have got that within the club. But now we've got to just be positive as a group going into Thursday.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think Alan would probably come back in. I think it would have been the right change to make. I think we even go 1-0 down, if you bring him in to sit and then just say to Decore, and you know, even if you then potentially took off Van der Beek and brought Dele Alli on, but then you said to Alan, you sit, allow Decore to go, let him go, let him be free, and then we can make things happen, you know. But we're going to discuss obviously potential positivity going forward shortly, but what do you make of it? I mean, the game was done, unfortunately, once they scored, and that's how sad things are. But John Joe Kenny gets himself sent off. He's going to miss the game on Thursday. You know, do you think that's going to be, sounds crazy, but a big loss for us? You know, it's a player maybe who gets the club. You know, as much as he's limited, and he is, and I'm not sitting here saying, you've got to, you know, let's give him a new contract. I'm not on that bandwagon at all, by the way. I think he's done fairly well. He's taken his chance. He is limited. But do you think not having John Joe Kenny for Thursday may be a bit of an issue? Or is it the ideal time now to go, right, well, okay, let's bring Patterson into the squad. You know, let's bring him in and around the squad again, because he wasn't in the squad again at the weekend. And let's now get back to, you know, where the Coleman starts again, potentially. Maybe Holgate goes out to the right, possibly another option. But Kenny being suspended, big issue for you or not so much?
I agree with what you're saying, Mike. I think he totally does get it. And I think it means a lot to him. And I think that's the reason he got sent off, because he was playing with his heart on his sleeve. And, you know, he didn't need to make the both challenges, really. And I thought, again, he got the crowd going, him and Godfrey with some big tackles in the first half. I've always said, Kenny this season under Lampard, I don't trust him away from home. So Newcastle's and Southampton's away, Tottenham's. But when at home, I think he realises, you know, he's still a fan on the pitch. His quality's not there, but he's done well. I can't knock the lad. He has done well in the home games that we've played. But I just think if I'm Lampard, I'd stick Godfrey out to left, mate. He's done it before. I thought Mikulenko looked well out of his depth. And just brief, I mentioned this. I wrote to the club, actually, and they got back to me. Before the game, obviously, what's going on across the world is terrifying and horrible, and especially for the young lad, Mikulenko. And when they're coming out, and they've got all the buildings blown up on the screen, and he's looking at the screen and coughing and all different things. So I wrote to the club and said, you know, obviously it's distressing images, you know, is it worth just doing what you do with the music, because that's great, and just putting the Ukrainian flag on the screen? And they come back and said, yeah, we're going to look to do that. Because the reason I'm saying that, because the first half, he's a centre half by trade and moved to left back, but he looked very edgy. And then, I'm not the best player, but I could take it past Mikulenko from his performance on Sunday. And I just think in a big game, just play Godfrey. He's done it. He's done it before. Just play him. Michael Keane had a great game against Wood at Burnley when we played them at home. He'd done all right against Wood. And I'd go with Holgate again. I think he's done okay with what you've got, unless Branthwaite's fit. Again, like we discussed, too many changes. Just stick to what we know. Keane, Holgate, Godfrey left. And I would stick with Coleman. I know it's becoming a Tim Howard for me with Coleman. And that's heartbreaking to say, because he's out, like, what a fella off the pitch, and what a player he's been for Everton. But I just, if this Patterson's not, he had to come off against Bournemouth, okay, because it was tactical to win the game, but he's obviously not ready. And he was obviously bought not to be in a relegation, fight, but it might be too much for him. Yeah. I would go for Coleman, Keane, Holgate, and Godfrey, mate, to be fair.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. As I say, it's just we're trying to sit here and trying to work out what we can do better, what is going to work. It's so difficult because it didn't work with that back three, if you like, on Sunday. Kenny as a centre half was a bit of a strange one. Mikulenko, for me, is not a wing back. Mikulenko, like you say, was a centre half. Moves to left back, so his natural game not to go forward. Yeah. And we've seen him; he looks and he goes back every single time. So I'm not that's no slight on him. That's just not his game, you know. So I thought that was a little bit strange himself to go with a three at the back and have John Joe Kenny as a third centre half. But certainly expect changes. Do I expect a reaction? Everton of old certainly would expect a reaction, but we've not seen reactions for some time now, and that's a concern in itself. But we've got to try and remain as positive as we can as a fan base, that's for sure. We're going to put the Wolves game to bed. You know, it's important to try not to dwell on it. You know, we've got a responsibility as a podcast to discuss it. If I didn't do a podcast, believe me, I wouldn't be discussing Everton until Thursday night. But no, we'll leave Wolves there. You know, it's gone. We've lost the game. A point or 3 points would have been absolutely fantastic for us. But we've got to move forward to Thursday. But before we do, we're going to take a short break. We're going to discuss the responsibility really of ourselves as fans now, and can we be positive going forward. So we'll be back in a few seconds.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to the second part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast. And like I was saying pre-break there, And it's really easy to say, isn't it? It's really easy for us to sit here and say, you know, we've got to keep on being positive. As a fan base, we've got a responsibility to go there and cheer the lads. And I truly believe that. I've said this in the past when things have turned out, you know, being quite negative and being a bit sour at Goodison Park. And I know Pete, and he'd love to, I'm sure he'd say this, Pete always says, we've got to have something to get behind. They've got to show us something. And I get that. But I think we've still got to go there, you know, and just try and back them from the off as best we can. And I think a few things came into play on Sunday. I think when we sort of saw scores flash up, I think that impacted the crowd Sunday. You know, we seeing Watford winning away from home, Leeds are winning as well. And, you know, that sucked life out of the ground a little bit. And then obviously going a goal behind so early in the second half, I think really, really impacted. And then the players didn't react, didn't give anyone anything to get behind. We saw videos, Phil, didn't we? I mean, we discussed this before ourselves privately about video appeared, I think it was through Toffee TV, which showed the Bradley Street singing, "You're not fit to wear the shirt." And, you know, as the players were sort of trudging off. And, well, again, we're not here to tell people what to do, and we're certainly not. And people can show their emotions and reactions any way they wish, obviously within the bounds of the law, but any way that they wish. That's not for us to preach to anybody. But what are your thoughts on that, Phil, in terms of that kind of reaction on Sunday?
I just think it's, again, I agree with that, Mike. You know, people can obviously voice their opinions and how they like, as long as, as you said, in a sensible way. I think it's just so frustrating now, as a supporter of Everton. You know, we have, you know, there's been a lot of fans who've been very negative in years gone by, particular players. There still is now. And for a period where we thought, you know, enough's enough. We've had too many managers. We've had too many. We know what the players like. You know, it's people like Cenk Tosun, you know, things like that. And Rafael Benitez coming in, he should never have come in. Really annoys fans. And we've lost our identity in a way. Then when we got a young British manager, we all wanted out the candidates, and we got a little bit of a bounce. And then, so obviously, like you said before, Mike, the way we lost to Spurs is a way of losing, and it's like we give up, we threw the towel in. And I think a lot of people are expecting a reaction. Obviously, the first 20 minutes of the Wolves game, 25 minutes, first half, really good, and then ended up getting beat in the game. So I can see. And then the players coming over to clap, and the fans don't want that. It's like these messages from Coleman, or, you know, after the back of a game, or obviously John Joe Kenny this week. We don't want that. We just want results now. And I know that's so easy. We'd be top of the league if me and you were picking the scores every week. We get that, but it doesn't look like they care as much. And as Evertonians, we expect our identity is get that ball in that box, two wingers, big number nine, you know, rough and tumble. That's Everton. And we're playing, we're a relegation threat inside, playing from goal kicks in the six-yard box to the centre-halves, back to the right-back. No, unfortunately, we need to get that ball as far as we can up the pitch, and get some goals and get the crowds on the edge of the seat. So I think that's why the fans had their voice on Sunday. There wasn't enough of that. There wasn't enough of the second half. You know, where's the reaction? There wasn't enough of it. And I think the fans now are just fed up with the same old. And I think, like I said earlier, it's a big snowball. There's so many problems throughout the years. And it's almost like, you know, we're accepting this now.
Yeah, I think I've seen a lot of people say about there seems to be an acceptance about things on Sunday, which we should never be in that kind of state. And that's why I say people have got every single right to voice their opinion in whatever way they see fit. And, you know, we should never be accepting as a club, especially as Everton Football Club, what we're being served up. We should never be accepting that we're sitting 17th in the table out of the relegation zone solely on goal difference. That is unacceptable. Whatever's gone in terms of management, in terms of injuries and things like that, it's unacceptable. That playing staff should not be anywhere near the relegation zone. If they're playing anywhere near their level, they'd be mid-table, you know, maybe slightly higher, you know. But that we should never be sitting there and be happy with what we're seeing, you know, and that's it. But what I would say is what we need to try and do is we need to have have a bit of calmness if we can. I'm finding it really difficult, finding it really tough, as I said earlier, on the last couple of games to be calm. I've said it on this show, you know, people can tell me we've got games in hand all they want, but we don't need games in hand, we need points. Points are better than a game in hand. You know, it's as simple as that because they're there, they're on the board. So that doesn't really wash with me, but I think we've got to remain calm. We've got to look at, okay, what have we got to go? 12 games. We've got quite a few home games against sides, you know, in and around us. We've got away games with sides in and around us. You know, we've got a few difficult games, of course. We have, you know, the Merseyside derby, Manchester United at Goodison, Chelsea at Goodison. We've got some difficult games coming up. Leicester home and away, still to play. So it's about trying to, as best we can, to be as calm as we can, because I think going to the ground and being on edge is not probably going to help. Last night, I was sort of like, found myself sort of wandering around the house and just sort of sitting there staring and thinking about, listen, look where we are here. What could happen? What is, you know, is relegation on the cards? Yes, it is. Can it happen? Of course it can. You know, at this moment in time, we're the most out-of-form team on the planet. And that is absolutely frightening, the fact that we could find ourselves dropping down to the Championship when we've got, you know, a fantastic ground. Literally, you know, could be on a knife edge. If we go down, a lot of money goes from the club. You know, we've already lost. And again, we've discussed this last week. We've lost sponsorships, obviously, with the situation that's happening in Ukraine and Usmanov and things like that. I'm sure a lot of sponsorship deals are basically on the proviso that we're in the Premier League. So who knows what's going to happen? And if they're not, the amount of money that we get will be on the proviso that we're in the Premier League. So there's a lot at stake here for this football club to stay in this league. And, you know, I'm sure Frank Lampard will be trying to keep the players as calm as he can. It's up to the staff to try and do that. And he's got to use his experience as a player. And I think, you know, we see sides around us. I mean, they mentioned Burnley. Burnley have been there, done that. Burnley have been in this position numerous times over numerous seasons. And they've got players who are experienced in what it takes to get out of the relegation battle. Everton happens. We haven't got those kind of players. And that's where I think we're really going to need to call upon ourselves as a fan base to just try and push that side along. I mean, like you said, Phil, you know, the Newcastle game under the lights is a big thing. I expect a great atmosphere. I really do. I mean, I know it didn't quite pan out that way against Wolves, but I do expect it. You know, we keep on saying it time and again about, you know, trying to get an early goal, trying to get ahead, and what have you. But we've got to just go in as a fan base with as positive a mindset as we possibly can, and just get behind the lads. Because at some point, you think it's got to change, hasn't it? Something has got to give. You know, what are we, 2 wins in 19, 2 wins in 20 now, which is just horrendous. But something, you know, all sides go through some kind of decent run of form. I know we started the season well, but we haven't had any second run at any time in this season. There's been nothing really. We've put, say, 3 or 4 results together, and you know, you've got, well, yeah, I can see us here. You know, we're looking all right. And that's what I think is concerning fans, isn't it? But we've got to go there on Thursday. I mean, I'll be there, trying my best as I possibly can to try and pull the lads through and give them something. And I am going there with a little bit of concern, but I'm trying to put it to the back of my mind and trying to go in there and be calm. You know, what are your thoughts on that, Phil?
Well, I never, to be fair, mate, if you think about the last time we played Newcastle, it's pretty much the other way round. We were never in a relegation scrap when we played Newcastle, and they were fighting for their lives under the lights. And now it's completely twisted. They're safe in my eyes, and we're scrapping. We have to use you know, how many times European nights or Monday night games, and we've always said the first thing you say on your Twitter feed in either Evertonian, under lights. I think we all know how big that is. I think, again, I'll be going on Thursday and just being as positive as you can. Just be as nasty as you can. And that is Everton. It's very hard to go to an Everton game when we've been nasty and lost, you know, recently Manchester City, and we all know what happened there. But that's our best tool. That's our best weapon, everyone said. It's on the old traditional ground. The fans are so close to the pitch. We need to, you know, when we're like that consistently, we get results. We do. I still believe... I personally think we'll beat Newcastle. I just think, you know, the little runs come to an end, albeit, you know, maybe it shouldn't have with Newcastle against Chelsea. They are done by. But I just think, like you said, our second win's got to come soon, mate. You know, win Thursday, although it'll be difficult. I think they'll waste time. I think they'll get the crowd very edgy. Leads into Sunday, again, could bounce onto that, and maybe that's the start of the second run. But I do honestly believe... you look at their squad and, you know, Willock, Shelvey, Dan Byrne, Matt Target is at the left back, and you think, and we're better than this team for team. It almost reminds me, I don't obviously want to jinx this, but probably one of the best teams to have gone down with that West Ham side when you look at their team to us, and you think there's no one. When teams go down, you think, oh, I'm glad they've gone. You know, they were rubbish, them. Tottenham was Antonio Conte saying, you know, don't take Everton for granted. They've got a very good squad, very good team. Don't understand why they're down there, but I do believe we will win. We've got to get a reaction. I think we will. I think Lampard will demand it. You know, his coaching staff will demand it. I think he's got to stick with something though, mate. You know, if you play 4-3-3 every game now, don't worry about other teams. Have your philosophy and let's go. Go down fighting rather than just being unsure or players a bit weak in head to head battles. Just go with what he thinks, 4-3-3 or 4-5 or whatever you play, and stick with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, we've got to have that consistency now in terms of formation setup, because that's the only way to players to feel comfortable within a formation and within a side, you know, is to have. I know you've got to be adaptable, but you know, we saw signs of how well that the 4-3-3 can work. A three in midfield, you know, Van der Beek, Alan, Decore, whether Dele Alli gets a bit of a go at the front of that three, potentially, who knows? But you know, like you say, the consistency now in formation, I think, has got to be the way forward. And we've seen how good we can play. You know, Leeds for me, that their squad are certainly no mugs. You've got some real quality, and we were great against them. We really, really, you know, we put on a great show. I know we had a couple of times here at the bar, but they weren't getting in around our box. And for me, they're on par with the Newcastle side. Newcastle have just got. And I've built this little bit of confidence now, which you've got to sign and break. But let's take our final break, and we're going to pick up and discuss the game against Newcastle on Thursday. Welcome back to the final part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast, and it's time to look ahead to our next game, one of our games in hand, which was postponed over Christmas because Newcastle said all the best players had COVID, so they got the game called off. And it's come around now. As I said, one of the games in hand that we've been going on about for so long, it will get to a point where we've got no games in hand. And this is a really important game. Newcastle have really kicked on. You know, the win and run that they were on only came to an end this weekend against a really strong Chelsea side. Late goal from Havertz. Newcastle denied it. What looked to be a pretty clear penalty. We've been there, so no sympathy, unfortunately. But they certainly turned a corner, Phil, haven't they? So much so that Newcastle now have pulled themselves away from what seemed to be an almost certain relegation battle for them.
No, they have. And there was a pundit last weekend, Mike, and he was saying, do you know what, of all the players, right, Trippier was a big player for them and obviously got a few goals, but he's been out for three or four games now. And the Brazilian, obviously scoring Southampton, hadn't been playing. It's pretty much the same side. But the winning breeds confidence, and getting confidence against teams in and around Newcastle at the time. They think they can go anywhere and get a result. And like you mentioned there, mate, you know, they should have got something against Chelsea, and that's their confidence now. You know, take 6 weeks ago, you know, on your accumulator, you'd have put Chelsea, you know, quite easily, you know, 3-0 or 4-0. And they stuck with a system. They're very tight. They look hard to beat. You know, Southampton, no mugs. Their home record, very, very good. And they managed to get a result there. I just think with them, like I said to you earlier, when we played them last, total different positions. We were where Newcastle are now, and you know, Newcastle are where we are. Now they've pulled themselves away, but just takes what that one win. I know we've had it with Leeds, but then the distraction goes by playing in the FA Cup on Sunday. Could we get another bounce there? You know, then you're at Wembley. This could be the catalyst. And like I've said, and we've both said, Under the Lights could start it on Thursday.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, you look ahead to the weekend, and if you can get, you know, a win out of this game, then, you know, it'll be a fantastic game for the fans on Sunday at Crystal Palace, you know, and it's probably difficult to get up for that game at this moment in time, because all we're looking at is the fact that we're in such a precarious position in the Premier League, and we've got absolutely nothing really to sort of build on to actually get up for FA Cup quarter final. You know, it's massive. It's massive win that. You're at Wembley for semi-final, you know, and years gone by, we'd be absolutely flying to that. And even if we were in a slight poor run of form, we'd still be, I can't wait for that game coming around the corner. And I just don't feel that at this moment in time, because we're all so much on edge that we're living game by game, aren't we? And there's no bigger game than Thursday. And I just hope we see the lads turn up. I really do. And, you know, they're going to be feeling it. They are going to be feeling the pressure. It's unavoidable. Certain players will feel it more than others, because they've got probably more of an affiliation and an affection for the club. You know, the name that we all look at, Santi Gordon, who against Wolves, again, was probably our best player. And that's not right for me. You know, he's a young lad, 21 years of age, and he's taking that responsibility and leading by example when other people are shrinking and they're hiding. And they're not looking to get on the ball and do positive things. And you don't want that. You want all the players to be united and be taking joint responsibility. And, you know, I just hope that we do see that on Thursday. You know, who's going to be available out of the squad? You know, you'd hope that Calvert-Lewin's back in. I've just seen he's in court tomorrow. I don't know what for. It's just appeared. And it is legitimate, so I don't know what that's for. So whether he was unwell, I don't know. We're guessing, but I'm sure more will come out tomorrow on that. It's not ideal for preparation for the game either. Obviously, he's not been available for the majority of the season. He certainly struggled when he's come back as well. Doesn't look anywhere near the player that we had, but that's injuries, that's illness. You know, it was a long-term injury for Calvert-Lewin. It's going to take him a good while to get back. But hopefully he is fit and he's ready to go. Damari Gray, I'm sure, will be more effective, because he's had, 60, 70 minutes under his belt at the weekend after suffering a virus and injury. A land back in there will be a big factor, get three back in midfield. And like you said, change up the defence in terms of, you know, put Godfrey left back and you know, get Michael Keane back in there with Holgate to look at the, you know, obviously the defensive side from sorts of set pieces. Even, you know, Bradsby could be a shout, Phil. You know, Bradsby's a big lad. He's good in the air. He's a strong lad. So against someone like Chris Wood, and like you said earlier on, you know, Dan Burn, who's come up for set pieces, they've got a bit of height there, Newcastle, and we've got a lot to combat that. And that's where maybe you could go with Bradsby, Keane, centre-halves, and put Holgate right back, you know, a little bit of pace, because you got sort of Saint-Maximin, I'm sure, will cause us problems. He did do at St. James's Park. And Godfrey playing on one side, and Holgate, as much as he's not as quick as Godfrey, he's got more pace than Seamus Coleman.
He tends to go forward a lot, Godfrey, as well, at left back. Mm. He tends to bomb on a little bit, doesn't he? He goes on them little runs.
Got the pace, hasn't he? Got the pace.
Pushes up, yeah.
So, you know, you'd hope that, you know, having that game under his belt against Wolves after the injury that he's had, he's again would be, you know, a couple of percent further along the road to full recovery from injury. So, you know, I see changes. As I say, we hope we can go back to a 4-3-3. And like you say, stick with it. You know, we've seen it work. Let's stick with it. stick with the personnel as best we can in that formation, and let's give us something. Let's at least show some kind of fight and show as a you know, as players, that they actually care, because we care. We care more than anything, and more than the vast majority of them, I'm sure. But they've got to give us something, haven't they, Phil?
I just thinking now, obviously talking to you, Mike, obviously my fire's in my belly now, ready for Thursday, but I think it could be a real classic. I do. I think Everton, the players, I think they really will react. I do. Like your Allens, your Richarlisons, you've got, you know, at Grays. I think it could be, because they, you know, I think we all smell blood, but I think they're not going to be terrified at all. They'll think, I can get at these, I can add to my numbers here, I can get some goals, and it'll be very, very open. I don't think Everton will be scared, because I think Everton will need to get the first goal. I do, I really do. But I don't think Newcastle will be terrified of us. So it could be a tennis match, it could be a basketball score. The way Gordon's been playing, he's up and down anyway, and the energy. I personally think, thinking about it now, I think we will win, but I think it will be a very entertaining, open game. Of course, nil-nil-nil. I think Lampard, the way he's been brought up, I think he'll demand the reaction. I think he knows from an outsider how to get Everton rocking. And I think by playing on the front foot, by being attack minded, obviously in a sensible way, using your flair players at your Gordons, you know, your Townsends, your Greys, those kind of attacking players, whipping balls into the box, I do believe we could get something. But I also believe that Newcastle will think the same. I think we can get these. They're unsure at the back. They're terrified. They don't keep clean sheets. We'll make them, you know, we'll walk. They try and waste time, but in good areas, I don't think, because it'll play into Everton's hand. They know, you know, teams have played under the light of Goodison before, and they know that's not a nice place to play. I just think it'll be electric. I do. I think the fans will turn up. I think they'll be bouncing. But I think if we get this kind of nervousness within the crowd and it doesn't go our way, I do believe, because like I said to you on the weekend, mate, at, you know, 4.6 points, we could potentially get one. Do you know what I mean? And I think then when people look at those, I was on the pod after the Southampton game, and I said the crucial week is when we have, you know, Newcastle, Watford. Obviously, the Watford got changed. I thought we could get, you know, a good 7 points out of nine. We could potentially get none. Yeah. And you think, wow, I didn't ever think that. So got to keep positive, got to go under the lights, big win. And I do think we'll get it, but I think it'll be a ding-dong match. I do think they'll have everything, I think.
Yeah. And I think we've got to take the lead. I think we've got to go in front. Yeah, even if they peg us back, it goes 1-0, 1-0, whatever it might be. Because I think if we go behind and we go behind sort of first half, we won't see much, and that's the big concern. And that's where we've got to come in as fans and just try as best we can to try and pull them along. You know, sitting down and quitting and you know, not being committed and not putting your foot in. Because by the way, we were shocking in the tackle all against Wolves, but we've been shocking for weeks putting our foot in. But you know, that's not going to happen on our watch. It can't happen, and we've got to try as best we can to make sure that it doesn't happen. Let's see what happens. But give us your prediction, Phil. What are you saying?
I'm going to go for 3-1. 3-1 Everton.
3-1. I'm going to go with a bit more nervy. I'm going to say 2-1 Everton, and that's me being really positive. And I don't know where I'm finding the positivity from, but I've got to be that way. Otherwise, I think I'll crack up, to be honest with you. I've actually signed up to go on to a Newcastle fan. Fan thing on Wednesday. Great set of lads, by the way, fantastic lads. It's look out for that. That's a preview of the games, but it's really good in depth. But and I don't really want to talk about us and that game and, you know, thinking about it. But you've got to listen. We signed up for it. We signed up for it, didn't we? As Everton fans, this is what we have to do. This is our responsibility. Well, Phil, thanks for coming on the show, mate. I really appreciate it. Great to hear from you again while the other two are off doing bits and pieces. I'm sure they'll be back this weekend. But thanks for giving us some time tonight.
No, cheers, mate. Always a pleasure. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, mate. And I'll leave you everyone with this. You never, ever give up on someone or something that you love. We love our club. Let's give it our all on Thursday. Catch you next weekend.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.